This is As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the show where we bring you the stories behind the stories that matter in your life. We'll tell you something maybe you didn't know, hear from the experts, authors, and others, and hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. But in every case, we call it As We See It. On today's show, a new revelation about Robin Williams as his wife opens up. And cancel your plans. We may have found the perfect weekend event, and it's right here in L.A. Let's meet the friends. Jennifer Bjorklund is at Laguna Seca watching race cars, so we couldn't hear her on the air if we wanted to. She'll be back next week. Trying to keep the peace, it's Jay Capadonia.
Tear gas, Molotov cocktails, and death. A small town in Missouri is melting down. I'm going to tell you what's happening right now.
And punching tickets for this ride, Chris Martin is here.
New York City is reminding its citizens that being creative in public is against the law, so knock it off.
Wow.
Stern words.
Yes, he's the enforcer today, the hammer.
Hey, where's Laguna Seca? Where is that?
It's like near between Salinas and Monterey. Is that right?
It's about right, up north?
It's between the Monterey and the 5.
So, she said old cars. So what is this, like some vintage race or something?
I think so. Yeah, they hop them up over there. They race around. It's not an oval either. It's one of those windy tracks.
Oh.
But they have an oval there as well.
Right on.
It's a road course, I believe they call those.
Pretty happening place. But they have, in Monterey every year, they have Lambo weekend.
Oh, that'd be cool.
They have Ferrari weekend. They have all these things. And they come out and they hang out at Cannery Row, and then they go up and race their cars at Laguna Seca because
awesome.
It's right up the street.
Sounds like a roller event.
Yeah. But she's down there in the, I don't know if they call it the paddock area at Laguna Seca, but she's right there where all the noise is. There's no way we're going to hear her on the air. Drinking wine, but not driving now that she's there. All right, so let's get the show started. We have some serious news, and even the president talked about what's happening in Missouri, and it's getting a little out of hand, Jay, isn't it?
Ferguson, Missouri, over the past few days, massive amounts of protesters have been demonstrating in the streets. They've been setting fires, looting, fighting with cops. And they're really ticked off because an unarmed teen was shot and killed by police a few days ago. Now, Obama came out today and he's calling for peace. Now, we expected that. Civil rights leader Al Sharpton wants the Justice Department to monitor the Ferguson situation. We expected that. Now, Sharpton said some things today that really aren't necessarily true, though. He said there's not enough black cops in Ferguson. Well, here's the deal. The numbers say that for a town the size of Ferguson, Ferguson beats the national average when it comes to diversity. So we didn't know that. Now, the governor of Missouri says he's working on a new plan to help the situation and bring peace to the town. Moments ago, he says the Highway State Patrol is going to take over control of Ferguson and pull out the St. Louis police, who the demonstrators have been fighting. And they hope that maybe that may ease some of the tensions that's going on in the small town of Missouri.
Yeah, we'll see what happens there. Something tells me it's going to take a while. Because, you know, every now and then somebody will say something. Sharpton will say something. Somebody else, a police chief, will come out and say something. A politician will say something. And people will key on one word or one sentence.
One sentence.
And that'll get people hopped up again. And then you have more trouble.
Right. And it's a terrible situation. And it really, you know, I was alive and I was old enough to remember the Los Angeles riots. And how scary that was. And that's on a massive scale. But on a smaller scale in Ferguson, I mean, something has to be done and something has to be done quickly.
Yeah. And it's hard to say what that is because you don't want to foment more violence.
Exactly.
And more reaction if you can avoid it. And it's tough because somebody was killed and more people are dying. All right. So we'll get off of the heavy stuff. This could have been heavy. Somebody could have died in Alaska, but you're dealing with Alaskans.
And get this. You're dealing with an Alaskan woman.
Don't you know?
This is how tough they are up there in Alaska. A woman out walking her dogs in Cordova. You know, they let them off the leash. They let them run. They love it out there in the great outdoors. Well, the dogs took off. They ran after this stream. And she was like, 57-year-old woman goes, I don't really know what's going on. Next thing she knows, the two dogs are running back, run right past her because they're being chased by a bear.
Oh, and they know better, and a dog can get away from a bear more than likely.
Exactly. Well, the bear focused its attention on the woman and mauled her.
Oh, no.
Bit her about 7 times. Some of the wounds are so deep, they needed to heal from the inside before they could even perform surgery.
Oh. So, where are the dogs, by the way?
Oh, they took off. See ya.
She no longer has dogs.
Correct.
But wait a minute. If I understand correctly, she's still alive.
this is what's crazy. She says that she got into the fetal position, started screaming, no, no, no. Finally, the bear had enough and walked away. She walked a mile and a half and then drove over 2 miles to the hospital by herself.
Wow.
After the attack.
She's bleeding profusely at this point, right?
Absolutely. From the head, from the abdomen, from her arm. And she just picked herself up and says, okay, well, I could either sit here and die or I can get moving. A mile and a half through like a wooded area.
Wow.
Not an easy thing to do.
And that's an adrenaline-fueled walk.
Right. No, it's a combination of adrenaline and the fact that she's Alaskan.
Yeah, right? They are just tough up there.
They're a hardy stock, those Alaskans.
I think you'd have to be.
Thanks, Grandpa.
Yeah, right?
That's the only thing Grandpa would say, right? He's hardy. What? Mm. Come on. You're a young guy. We don't say things like that.
I picked that up from my grandpa, actually.
Did you?
That and many other great terms.
Your grandpa's a wise guy. So,
speaking of wise,
let's say you want something delivered.
Yeah, you know what? This is like the greatest invention of all time, I believe.
Is it?
Pretty sure. So there's a new app. It's called Saucy.
Saucy?
Saucy.
Oh, you have your phone in your hand there. Did you download that app?
I did indeed. And I'm thinking about, what do we got? About 40 minutes left in the show? I'm thinking about seeing if we can make this happen. There's a new app called Saucy where you can actually order and have delivered to your door booze.
What?
Booze.
Is that allowed?
You can have alcohol delivered to your door. Now, here's kind of, well, I used to live in an apartment in Torrance, and there was a liquor store down the street. Uh-huh. They got to know me so well, they just had the guy, like, deliver alcohol.
Wow.
All the time. But anyways, that's another story for another time. Now, they've teamed up with another underwear dealer called MeUndies.
MeUndies?
MeUndies.
That's a silly name.
Now, you can order alcohol from Saucy and have an underwear model deliver the booze your doorstep in the MeUndies.
Oh, no.
Actually, it's just a week-long promotion, so you got to do it quickly.
Where is this in New York?
This is in Los Angeles here, Phil.
Well, you know what? I don't think it's legal to walk around L.A. in your underwear.
You can
do that in New York, but you can't do that here.
It's just like wearing a bathing suit. What's wrong with that?
Yeah, but they're rules. Those people could get arrested for indecent exposure.
It's walking around. There's no difference if you walk around in your bathing suit or your boxers.
And
like
they're
if
not
I've
supposed
got shorts on. They're shorts.
Okay, but the booze, now that's sealed up, right? They're in bottles that haven't been opened yet.
It is in a box. You can get a box from 40 that'll cost you $40 or $100. Okay, and they're actually calling them sleepover packages.
Excuse me.
Yes, sleepover packages.
Who sleeps over?
You can order a box that has alcohol of choice, mixers, clean underwear, new socks, a shirt, and sunglasses. And they say that they can deliver it within 20 minutes, depending on your location.
Yeah, all right. All of those things, they're distracting from the fact that somebody in his or her underwear is standing on your porch.
Yes, well, actually, here's
Is it his and her, by the way? Because you say underwear model. For some reason,
I'm just gathering.
You don't want Chet showing up at your door?
Right.
No, I'm with you.
But is it both?
Yes, it is.
Oh, okay.
And the kicker to the whole thing, they will also include hangover vitamins in your pack. Yeah. Hangover fighting vitamins.
Yes, but are they taking applications?
You could probably work there.
You're always looking for work, aren't you?
Another gig. Yep.
Yeah, you're a hard-working dude.
I'd love to try it, so I'm going to see if we can get
somebody to deliver here?
Yeah.
All right, see what happens.
Make a call.
I'm getting in trouble.
Are they delivery people or performers? Like New York has an issue with performers. They have issues there, don't they, Chris?
That's the way they're looking at it. Yeah, they have issues. They're like rats or something, according to the police, because acrobats and dancers and musicians are being thrown in the clink by the dozens over there. Actually, more than 240 subway performers have been arrested so far this year in New York City.
How many?
240, which maybe doesn't sound like a huge number considering population, but that's 4 times more than last year.
Well, but the percentage of the total number of performers, 240 might be a lot. I mean, what, are there 300 performers? That means it's almost completely eradicating that category of citizen.
Right. Yeah, there's no performers left now. They're hunted out there. Actually, Mayor de Blasio says, "This may not look like criminal offenses what these guys are doing, but breaking the law is breaking the law." And now, of course, the proponents are saying, "Look, man, we dance, we sing, We're not criminals. We shouldn't be locked up for showing off our talents. But I imagine at the same time, they're also probably hitting people up for money.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
and
but shouldn't
so that's
they file
probably
for like
where the lawbreaking comes in.
Shouldn't they file for permits kind of like they do in the Santa Monica Promenade? All those street performers there, they have to file for permits. They have to pay for the little space there that they're renting from the city.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're talking about the subway here, so they're just locked in a cement box or in a subway car.
By the way, wasn't yesterday International Lefty Day?
It was!
As a representative of the left-handed among us. Of course, I'm the only one here.
The weirdo.
Yeah. Did you know that 40% of cats are left-handed? Another 10% are ambidextrous.
What?
So that means 50% of cats are right-handed, but 40% are left. And only 10% of humans are left-handed.
That's amazing.
What? Why?
Cats are left-handed.
What does that have to do with anything, though?
How do they even prove that?
They
must dangle something in front of it, and the cat bats it with its left arm.
I thought you were going to say, wait a minute, cats don't have hands.
Yeah, but how's their cursive?
Good one. I didn't even think of that. Here, cat's hands.
How's their cursive? Yeah, they get the ink all over their fur when they're writing. Hey, you know what? On a serious note now, we learned more about Robin Williams today, and one more thing he was coping with before his death. And related to that, up next, one of his close friends is about to join us live to talk about both of their struggles with depression right here on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. Thanks for tuning in to As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends. Jennifer has the day off. Jay Campidonia, Chris Martin are here. I'm Phil Hewlett. Hi. Glad you made it. Jay, the wife of Robin Williams revealed something new about her husband, right?
She released a statement today and said that Williams was suffering from the early stages of Parkinson's disease. He wasn't ready to go public with it, but here's kind of like the silver lining. His sobriety was intact.
And it's been a while, right? He was hanging in there.
It has been a while.
Pretty good.
I don't have those exact numbers, but it has been a while, a couple years at least.
Of course, add to all of this his battle with, where everything stood with his addiction. The people say that's a lifelong thing, even
Absolutely.
If you are kicking it for the time being. But also depression, a big factor in his life and why he took his life. But joining us now is somebody who is intimately aware of that battle, not only Robin's, but his own. He's the author of the book, The Modern Depression Guidebook, writer, comedian, close friend of Robin's, Dylan Brody. Hi, Dylan.
Hi. Just for the record, I would have to say close friend is overstating it a bit.
That's fair.
I work with him on a project. He remembered me when next I saw him.
Yep.
He was very kind and generous to me with his time and his spirit. But I don't want to be misrepresenting myself.
Fair enough. Were you aware of his Parkinson's?
I was not.
Okay. When you and Robin were together, working together, did you ever have one of those moments where you were aware of each other's challenges with depression? Did you ever have to support each other during difficult moments when you had to work together? Or was that kind of an elephant in the room?
I certainly knew of his depression, and I suspect he knew of mine, though I don't know how aware he was of who I was when we first encountered one another. In his warmth, there was a sadness. There was an instinct for David Feldman, the man who ran the show I was working on at the time, on which Robin was a guest, and an instinct on the part of anyone who had any empathy or general sensitivity to those around him, around themselves, to protect him, because there was a feeling of sadness in his eyes and in his manner. And it was marvelous because even in that sadness, there was this spark and this twinkle and this readiness to play. But the moment he returned to neutral, you just had this feeling of soft, of almost need.
Yeah, vulnerable. The public, Robin Williams, is the only guy we know, the guy that's bouncing on the chairs in The Tonight Show.
Yeah. And I've heard tell of him saying to people before he went on, particularly at Comic Relief, I heard it said that, you know, he'd be standing backstage talking like a human being, and then when it was time, he'd say, time to flip the switch, and he would step into that improvisational, fast-paced persona in which he worked. And it was a beautiful thing to see him work. And it was a beautiful thing to see him as a human being.
Yeah.
And that's the thing to realize. People have this sense that because he was so energetic in his public persona, there could not be depression lurking behind that. And it's just so very much not the case. He was a professional, and like many professionals, what he is doing in his professional behavior is not exactly who he is in his private life.
Yeah. It's true for a lot of people. And when you did work with him, describe for us what it was that you were doing. Writing jokes or what?
I wrote sketches for the David Feldman Show on one of your competitor radio stations. Robin came in as our guest for one episode. So that week, all the writers were assigned to come up with stuff that would work for Robin. And then David Feldman took Robin aside privately when he got there and showed him all the sketches and let Robin choose which ones he wanted to do. The first one he picked was mine. And he took it. It was written so that he would play Shakespeare. And it was all of his part was written in Elizabethan iambic pentameter. And he read it, and I said, you know, you're allowed to improvise as much as you want. And he said, oh, no, the writing is brilliant. I wouldn't think to. And I said, oh, how sweet of you. And then he got a line wrong, and I was in the awkward position of having to say, I'm sorry, Mr. Williams, can we go back and do another take?
Wow.
But he did the piece word for word, and when I asked, I said, oh, absolutely. In fact, let me give you a couple of takes on that. And he did three or four different versions of the same line, you know, reading my words as they were, but playing them slightly differently each time, and gave us a gorgeous sketch. He was there for the entire week's production of the show, and then months and months later, I went up to Mill Valley to perform at the Throckmorton, the 142 Throckmorton Theater in Mill Valley, wonderful, wonderful venue, and Robin and Mort Saul were hanging out in the lobby talking.
Wow.
And I wouldn't have interrupted them except that they were between me and where the coffee was.
Yeah, right.
Don't keep me away from the coffee. So I said, excuse me. And Robin looked at me with that look that says, I know I've met you. I don't know who you are. So I said, I'm sorry. Hi, Robin. I met you when you were doing the David Feldman Show. And immediately it clicked. He said, oh, Dylan Brody. Of course. Dylan, this is Mort. This is Dylan Brody. He's a very talented writer. And the ability to remember my name and how he knew me once I gave him one clue was shocking to me.
Yeah.
Because he met so many people in the course of a day.
Well, you have to imagine when you watched him work where he would just riff on so many things and pull so many lines out of thin air. You have to have some form of a photographic memory, don't you?
Well, he had an extraordinary memory. And, you know, over the years, there were a lot of people who accused him of being a joke thief. And he eventually sort of acknowledged it and took efforts to not let that happen anymore. But it wasn't that he was intentionally stealing material from anyone. It was that he would see a comedy show and the things that were funny stuck in his head.
And he delivered them differently than the guy that wrote it in the first place and probably made it funnier.
Often deliver it differently, certainly make it faster and shorter.
Yeah.
I've heard rap, too, that the guys that he supposedly stole the jokes from weren't even really offended by it because it was so innocent. Like, they could see that the way he was telling it, that it wasn't him intentionally ripping them off.
You know, I think it varies from person to person. Everybody has a different threshold for resentment.
Yeah, right, exactly. You know what? We just have a little time left here.
I said?
No, not at all. It's you know, as opposed to that other radio station that you've worked for in the past, we actually have to hit a clock fairly.
I understand. You know,
we've got rules, formatics here. But Dylan Brody, your book, the Modern Depression Guidebook, it's re-release now, and it's available in our store at philhewlettandfriends.com. And
yay,
we do recommend that people get it. But what's the basic thing you think people should know or understand about depression?
About depression is that it lies. It tells you that it is permanent. It tells you that it is helping you, that you won't be funny without it, that you won't be productive without it, that you won't be politically passionate without it. And all of that is a lie. You can treat your depression, you can find light at the end of the tunnel, and you can remain yourself with your beliefs and your moral structure.
Well said, and thanks again for being on today, and just a wonderful... we could play this back as a eulogy for Robin because you said some beautiful things about him today, and we thank you for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me, and thank you for talking about depression and the need to explore it and discuss it.
Dylan Brody, thank you.
Take care.
All right, so next... It's an interesting position we're put in because typically on Thursdays we talk tech with Jeremy Antoconi. But Jeremy's wife broke her tooth. They're headed to the emergency broken tooth place right now.
Is she getting a cyborg tooth put in?
It's something to do with tech. I think they need to put GPS in Jeremy's wife's tooth, don't you think? Well, we have a handful of our own tech stories that we're going to cobble together because we know you have your tech fix for Thursdays. And that's coming up next. Here on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends. You are listening to As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends. We have a website, philhewlettandfriends.com. On Twitter, it's at As We See It Show. We love to see your comments. Feedback at philhewlettandfriends.com if you prefer the old school email. Because this is our tech segment, and we don't have Jeremy the tech guy.
Is email old school now?
Email is old school.
Oh, no way. You just made me 100 years old. No way.
Because people Facebook instant message, they get their little, what's the thing called in Google where you get people together and you...
Your circle?
No, not your circle. There's a thing in Google.
You know what email is? Email's the new way to pen pal. Like, rather than writing a letter so you can keep a relationship with somebody but not have to talk to them every day, you can email now. And it's like once a week you'll get back to it, you know?
But see, this is why we need the tech guy because, see, I don't know what stuff is called half the time.
Yeah.
And he could just tell us because he knows right off the top of his head. But again, just to point out, he would have been here, but last minute, you know, wifey gets a broken tooth. He's got to take her to the...
Do we know what you broke it on? No, wait, don't ask.
That's all I want to know, though.
Don't
I'm very
ask.
Curious about it.
It better be high tech.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
I'm sure it was.
Yeah.
All right, Hangouts. That's what they're called.
Oh.
Google Hangouts.
Thank you.
It replaces text, so you can get a whole bunch of people together in a Hangout. So speaking of Facebook, which we were prior to speaking of Google, there's some new trend, Jay, that I don't know if it's good.
I love the social media, and I love how creative people can be. There is now a new Facebook page that Facebook is refusing to take down, even though there is public outrage.
There's always outrage.
Yes.
When something's popular.
It is called People of the Iowa State Fair.
Okay.
Yeah, are you familiar with the people of Walmart?
Yes.
Now, I'm not going to go on another Walmart raid, tirade.
But what's the matter with the people of the Iowa State Fair?
They are worse than the people of Walmart, Phil.
Are they?
People are going around and they're taking photos of the nut jobs that are walking around the Iowa State Fair. There's guys in fishnets and high heels. There's
at the state fair with all the sawdust and the
there's a guy
farm animals
who is wearing a shirt. He's probably 450 pounds.
Yeah.
And on the back of it says, while you're reading this, I tooted.
What?
And just walking around the Iowa State Fair.
Yeah.
There's another guy who decided to dress up as a gigantic Papa Smurf just walking around the fair.
Yeah.
Another guy dressed up as William Tell. All of these crazy characters, and these are people like in your daily life who are not performers of any kind.
Sounds like Comic-Con.
Yeah, I was going to say it's Iowa's answer to Comic-Con.
It's the redneck version of Comic-Con. Let's go there.
Oh, man.
So, anyways, people are like upset. There's no faces. They're not putting any faces on there. They're not directly, you know, hammering these people. They're just putting it out there for people's enjoyment. Mm-hmm. And I am fascinated with it.
Yeah. Well, you know what else is fascinating? If you have a mullet, you both have a red neck and a neck that isn't seen by the sun. So, you know.
Oh, my God. That was terrible.
If you think about it.
That was terrible.
Have you ever played Walmart Bingo?
No. What is that?
You've never seen a Walmart Bingo card? If you ever get a chance, Google that.
Okay. Yeah. Fine. You're not going to tell us?
Yeah. Well, it's
no, that's okay.
A
don't,
bingo
don't,
board
no,
with something
no,
you
no,
might
no,
see
no.
at Walmart.
No. Okay.
And then you check them off as you see them.
All right. Why don't we talk some high tech, since that had nothing to do with tech. It was
It's
Facebook shaming? Okay. It had more to do with the fair. But in this case, this is about as high tech, Chris, as it possibly gets.
Yeah, there's a jet manufacturer called Ixion that is working on some pretty cool new technology. It's a windowless jet, Phil.
Windowless? What's the point of that?
Well, just because it's windowless doesn't mean you can't see outside. See, what these guys do is they mount high-resolution cameras to the fuselage and the wings, and then these cameras capture high-definition footage of the world outside. Now, through some magical process beyond my comprehension, these cameras beam the images onto the display panels of the cabin walls and ceilings, so the entire cabin of the plane turns into what is outside the plane. So every seat is a window seat.
It's like the Wonder Woman jet. Doesn't she have an invisible jet?
Yeah. She does. Yeah, she has an invisible jet.
It's like you're sitting in an invisible jet.
It's kind of to me. It looks like being in an observatory is what it looks like a little bit.
Oh,
yeah, because at night you can project it into the night sky, so you're just surrounded by the stars and the moons. But check this out.
That's
moons,
romantic.
Yeah. The moon, not pluralize that. But you can also display in-flight video conferences, so if you want to talk to somebody, they could be right on the walls of your plane. You can project movies or programmed images. Imagine like Space Mountain, like you're going through Mountain while you're flying.
I could see applications for home. You know, you set these up all outside maybe your vacation cabin somewhere in the mountains, right? Because when you're sitting in the cabin in February, you know, and maybe it's been snowing all day, but it stopped and the sky clears up and you see the stars forever. Right, and you've got the cameras out there?
That is a good idea, Phil. Right.
Or at least one wall, you know, that one wall that faces the ocean.
Or your ceiling and the wall that faces the ocean. Yeah. Like Hawaii, all these different places.
I like that idea.
Start doing that. See, this is tech. We don't need Jeremy on this program.
I'm sure it's cost-effective to turn an entire wall into a video display screen.
Yeah, right. I don't know. Well,
if you've got a vacation home on the ocean, you might be able to afford it.
Now, Jay, you have an example of when high-tech meets low-tech.
Exactly. Low-tech, it doesn't get any more low-tech than Legos. Everybody loves playing with Legos. At least one time in their life they did. And you guys, what was the coolest thing you ever built when you were using Legos? I built a fort one time about 3 inches high, and I loved it.
I built a thing that hurt when I threw it and hit somebody with it.
Yeah. Well, this guy took Legos to the next level, and he built a bionic arm.
Really?
With nothing out of Lego packages. Motors, the strings, the cables, the connectors, everything is built from Legos.
No kidding.
Wow. Yep. And the guy has a fully functional arm. So he just built a robotic arm and says, maybe this is a cost-effective way of going through and building
prosthetics. And they're all Lego pieces.
All Lego pieces. The problem with it, it's heavy.
Yeah. And you bump into things and it sloughs off chunks of Lego.
There's a YouTube video. There's a this and then that of him walking around New York City. And he's like shaking people's hands with it, taking pictures, all this stuff. And it's really simply made. He pushes one button and the hand closes. He pushes another button. The hand opens. He can do just about anything with it. I believe we're going to try and get this up on our show fun page. Is that correct?
In fact, let me see if our website minions have already done
that. They better, man. Those guys, they do nothing back
there. I'm checking on it. Cyber arm made out of Legos. There it is. We have the video on the show fun page.
Good job, fellas. Finally.
Yeah. The next step in prosthesis.
It's about time. We might have to start paying people. But can he pick up candy with that Lego arm of his?
Probably. It sounds like it's pretty functional. There's a Japanese artist that's actually creating edible Legos, which is probably good this guy's arm wasn't made of it because he would just chew it off, try to eat it. But this one's even better than just edible Legos. He created molds for most of the basic Lego pieces that you see, which you can create anything out of.
Mm-hmm.
And then he pours into these different molds molten chocolate to make edible chocolate Legos.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That is.
He uses milk chocolate, white chocolate, dark chocolate, and strawberry chocolate. So you have four different colors that you can use, including pink.
The Lego,
Jay, I know that's
Lego
your favorite
colors.
Color.
It mm-hmm. is my favorite color, by the way.
Yeah. Here's the bummer, though. It's unfortunately not for sale. At least yet, because I say we get a movement going.
Yeah,
I would buy this.
You eat enough of that, you'll get a movement going.
That's right. Ba-dum-cha.
What? Take it easy, guys. Please. Hey, up next, this is an all-American comfort food. Correct me if I'm wrong, but when I describe fried chicken as an all-American comfort food, I'm hitting a nail on the head. Am I not?
Mm-hmm.
You are about to meet the producer of the third annual, wait for it, Fried Chicken Festival.
What?
And it's happening right up the street, and you'll hear about it right here on As We See It with Phil Hewlett and friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Ports of Call Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best bottomless champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Ports of Call Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsofcalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. We want to make sure that you know what you're going to do when the weekend comes around, because we make sure to find the absolute best activities for your weekend. And this Sunday, I believe it is this Sunday, in L.A.'s Chinatown, it's something you absolutely have to attend. It's the third annual Fried Chicken Festival.
Oh, my God, yes.
Just saying it makes me giddy. And joining us live is the producer of this event, Josh Lurie. Hey, Josh. So when people come up to you and say, so, Josh, what do you do for a living? Well, I'm the producer of the Fried Chicken Festival. Shut up.
It's pretty fun to be able to do that.
Is this an all-year thing for you? Are you planning from the beginning of the year all the way to when this comes around?
Well, actually, the Food GPS Fried Chicken Festival is one of five events that I'm producing or co-producing this year.
All right. I don't know if I'm ready for my head to explode, but what's Food GPS, by the way?
Food GPS is a great online food and drink guide that will tell you where to find the best food or drink, primarily in California.
So is it just a website, or can you get an app?
There is an app, but it's primarily a website,
mm-hmm.
foodgps.com.
Okay, and we have a link, by the way, on our links page to the Food GPS Fried Chicken Fest page, and so check that out for sure. So, all right, describe the festival for us, please.
It's over in Chinatown this year, over by Central Plaza on Sunday, August 17th. And when people arrive, it's basically choose your own adventure. So everywhere you turn, there will be somebody making incredible fried chicken and side dishes. There's awesome desserts, cocktails.
Wait a second. Dessert fried chicken?
Well, I mean, you'd have to combine the two, but there's also going to be ice cream from McConnell's. You have cupcakes from Sprinkles. Also desserts from Quesnel and Valerie Confections.
Wow, that's high end. And well, first of all, when you talk about combining concepts, the concept of fried chicken and adventure hadn't occurred to me until you brought that up, Josh.
Well, when a lot of people hear the words fried chicken, sometimes their minds go to the South, the American South. But really, fried chicken is an international phenomenon. So
right. Well, there. How many ways can you fry chicken anyway? I mean, you just batter it and throw it in the vat, and then you're good, right?
Thousands. I mean, you don't even have to go into a deep fryer. You could pan fry it. Cast iron.
No, that's no fun, sir. It has to be dripping in grease.
Yeah, dripping in grease, extra crispy.
Yes.
Absolutely.
You're an extra crispy guy, right, Josh?
Oh, of course.
Okay,
oh,
yeah. Good. Now you can be trusted. All right.
Now, when it comes to the meat product at this festival, is it just chicken or are there some renegade booths set up?
Well, considering it's the fried chicken festival, got to deliver on the key product there.
So. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, about like fried chicken on a stick wrapped in bacon with mustard?
If you'd like to make that, I'd be happy to have you there.
Oh, listen to that.
All right, but just to make sure, I mean, I walk in there looking for fried chicken, and there isn't going to be a guy frying up squab, for instance.
No, got to keep with the core focus.
Right.
I think one of the things that is great about these FUGPS events is that they're all built around a particular theme. That's the central theme. Mm-hmm. You're going to get exactly what it tells you. So all sorts of good fried chicken, although there are complimentary side dishes.
Right. You mentioned the cupcakes and the other things, but you did not, and I don't know if you omitted this on purpose, but you did not mention beer.
Good point, Phil. Thank you.
I'd be happy to mention beer because there will be plenty of good beer from Firestone Walker.
Ooh.
And they're pouring three different beers.
Uh-huh.
Pivo, DBA.
DBA.
And Union Jack IPA.
Mm. My gosh.
Can you say that again but speak slower? Are there fast food joints allowed at this thing? Like, am I going to see KFC and whatever else out there? Popeyes?
Churches?
And churches, yeah.
No, you won't. I mean, the FUGPS Fried Chicken Festival is primarily a chef-driven event. So you'll find some incredible chefs from restaurants like Kraft over in Century City, Egg Slut over at Grand Central Market.
What was it? What? Egg Plots?
Egg Sluts.
Egg Sluts. Oh.
Yeah.
All right.
They're actually debuting a fried chicken ramen that they're going to be doing at the market later this year.
Wow. Is that like the Hooters restaurant of fried chicken?
Egg Sluts.
In some ways, it's more slutty, and in some ways, not as slutty.
All right. That's what I'm
I think
about.
I know what you mean. What's it cost to get in?
It's $65.
Oh.
And we're sold out of VIP tickets, but still some plenty of.
Well, the 65, is that the VIP or is that the working man's price?
That's the working man's price. And unless you're some sort of giant, you're not going to leave hungry.
I was going to say, what do you get for $65? Just entrance?
Well, not only do you enter, but basically as soon as you're through the door, anywhere you turn, no matter what food or drink you see, you'll be able to experience it at no extra price.
Oh, so it's just walk in, open mouth.
I'm just going to walk in with a giant funnel in my mouth. Just pour it in there. Right there. Thank you.
Hey, do you guys have any entertainment, like carnival games or anything like that, or is it just strictly get down and eat?
Dancing chickens?
Food's the focus, but it's really a party with great food. So we are going to have a DJ, and we're also going to have a balloon artist.
Chicken dance, right?
You could do the chicken dance.
Deedle-deedle-deedle-deed.
Okay, right. DJ Leghorn.
Oh, good one.
All right, and it starts when? What time?
It's from 4 to 7.
Oh, dinner time.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is there, like, emergency vehicles on standby because of cardiac arrest?
Who's got the defibrillator concession? That's what I want to know. Scope that out before I get started.
BYO defibrillator.
Good one.
Hey, great to talk with you. Good luck on your event this weekend. Again, it's the FUGPS Fried Chicken Festival, 4 to 7 p.m. Sunday in Chinatown. Look for the signs. No, get out of your car, walk, and follow the aroma. The delicious aroma of fried chicken.
Great.
Josh, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Just genius, pure genius, isn't it?
We need to have like a taco festival.
Yeah.
Where everybody just comes in and brings like their best taco.
I forgot to ask him. I wonder if they have it. Didn't he say they have five festivals?
Five different ones, yes.
Yeah. All right, so we're going to have to go back to his website, thefoodgps.com, and check that out.
Fried chicken, though, man, that is the best.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it'll kill you. You keep eating that stuff, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it would. I mean, the next thing you know, you'd get your death certificate in the mail.
Yes, you know, actually, a hospital in Australia accidentally sent out 200 death certificates to people who are living.
Too many? What? Wait, where'd you go?
Austin Hospital in Melbourne.
Yeah.
They accidentally sent out death certificates to 200 patients.
Yeah.
Whoops.
Accidentally.
But the people are still alive.
Oh, no. But they're in Australia.
They're in Australia, so it doesn't really matter.
They took it all in stride.
Yeah, I'm sure, right? They had a beer.
Yeah. Hey, Chris, one more thought.
On death?
On death, and this has to do with the passing of Lauren Bacall, right?
It does, Phil. With the Lauren Bacall's recent passing, now all 16 celebrities Madonna mentioned in her hit song Vogue are now dead.
Let's listen to it.
I'm kind of rocking out. Yeah.
Here it comes. Oh, you missed
Lauren,
it.
Lauren, Catherine, Lana, too.
I got it. That's amazing.
They're all dead?
They're all dead. Bacall was actually the last one standing for over a decade now. Marlon Brando was the 15th to go back in 2004.
Wow. And he used to Vogue? Marlon Brando?
Madonna's killed everybody.
Pretty much. Madonna the murderer.
I think that's what we're saying here.
Oh, God.
Had to be said. Somebody had to say it.
Right. All right.
You heard it here first.
Go away already.
Yeah. I don't know. Hey, I can't get off of the food. And you did mention pizza earlier on. Did you mention pizza?
Briefly? I usually do. Yeah. I mean, I just
let's
do
just
it
assume,
subconsciously.
Let's just
now.
Assume that even if you didn't, you did mention pizza. The world record for the fastest time eating an entire 12-inch pizza. Have you ever downed one yourself, a 12-inch pizza?
Oh, and how?
Yeah.
12-inch?
What?
Weak stuff.
Deep dish or the thin crust? Or
no, I can do thin crust with my eyes closed, but a regular pizza?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no problem.
I like the thin crust. I like the thick crust. I'm not a big fan of the cheese in the crust.
No, and the Chicago style is too thick. It's just too much, yeah. Man.
Anchovies?
Yeah, if I feel like it.
Yeah, me too. Anyway, the world record for the fastest time eating an entire 12-inch pizza, 41 seconds.
Oh, my God.
Right.
And 31/100, 41.31 seconds.
12-inch pizza, that's like a small or maybe a schmedium at best.
12-inch? No, that's the size of a record album, right?
Right.
Yeah, that's a lot of dough.
But a large pizza is like 18 or 24, isn't
Well,
it?
Is it more or less if you cut it into 6 or 8 pieces?
I imagine it's the same. Here's how I figure the guy eat it, though. He just takes a whole 12-inch pizza and he folds it like a taco and just eats the whole thing like a big taco.
Yeah, 40 seconds. I couldn't do that.
You could do that with a thin crust, though. Isn't that the New York way?
Thin crust.
That's the New York style of eating pizza.
That's the way to go.
And shove it in your face.
Yes.
Which is a New York kind of thing to say. Hey, we love your comments. Even the crude ones. At feedback@ Phil Hewlett and Friends. That's our email address. Twitter... at As We See It Show, facebook.com/Phil Hewlett and Friends. Thanks to our executive producer, Mike Stark. Brooke Peterson is our producer. Production assistant is Nick Wright. Our theme song is composed and performed by Russ Monson. For Jennifer Bjorklund, Jay Campadonia, and Chris Martin, I'm Phil Hewlett. Can't wait to talk with you next time when we call it As We See It with Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports... speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com.